This is On Target with Penny Wolfgang, a program that takes an inside look at what is happening in Western New York with news, features, and special guests. Now, here's your host, Penny Wolfgang.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to On Target. I'm your host, Penny Wolfgang, and it's a pleasure to be with you every week, and we try to talk about subjects that we think are interesting and important and educational and topical and everything else that's happening on Target that we think you'd like to know about or would be concerned about or would be interested in here happening in Western New York. And not to, and you know, I'm obsessed with the arts, so as much as I can, I always try to talk about groups to do with the arts, theater, educationally, art, anything that I think is culturally important to all of us here in Western New York, aside from Law and Order, which is my second favorite subject. But as far as, or maybe my first, I don't know. But as far as the arts go, I recently have made the acquaintance of a person who I'd heard about like my whole life almost in one way or another, and turned out that this gentleman is involved with a group called Starring Buffalo. And I kept seeing, what is Starring Buffalo? What is Starring Buffalo? I thought I knew all the theater groups here, and I think you, my listeners on Target, have been introduced to all of them over the years. We've talked to people from Shays and Irish Classical and Alleyway and so forth, and all of the local theaters, as well as sometimes visiting productions. And now I come to find out that there is another theater group here in Western New York that is not here all the time, but has been active for several years. And I kept seeing Starring Buffalo production happening here, there, and the other, and I wondered, who is it and what is it? And then I came to find out that it was the one and only Michael Russo, who I was friendly with because we are on the Arts and Culture Committee for the town of Amherst, correct?
Town of Amherst.
And who I found out is one of the most famous educators in the Amherst-Williamsville community, probably in all of Western New York, and actually was at the very school, is the very school where my very own granddaughter is going. Now, all Excellent. Of these connections came together, and in this studio with us today is Michael Russo, whose real job, his job in real life is... what's the right title?
Instructional Specialist for the Arts.
Instructional Specialist for the Arts in Amherst. Is
in
that what
Williamsville.
You... It's just Williamsville. You know, my listeners are going, oh, Williamsville, Amherst. I can't tell the difference. It's so confusing. And also in the studio with us is Drew...
Fornarola.
Fornarola. I knew I was going to have trouble with that, so I was hoping you'd fill it in for me. Okay.
I got the cue a little late.
Yeah. So, I don't know. You're in the theater. You should have picked that up, Drew. And Drew is, let's see, the director, perhaps?
The artistic director, yeah.
Oh, it's close. Okay. Artistic director of Starring Buffalo organization. And first, we're going to, here it is, Fornarola. Did I do that?
Perfect.
Okay. It says director because we're going to talk about the show that you're directing in a minute. But first, we need to talk to Michael because I'm giving everybody all these hints about how important you are to the educational system here in Williamsville. But I needed to ask you if you could tell us a little bit about yourself.
Sure, I can. I want to start with something that I picked up on from you is I am a Law and Order fan, almost a junkie on it. So we have another connection. So
well, actually, I meant like the generic Law and Order, but the real Law and Order on TV, I have never missed one. I love everyone.
It's one of those shows you can probably turn on the channel any time of day or night and find a rerun somewhere.
I know. I like Law and Order, the new one, but the one that's ongoing now, too, as well. It's very realistic, too. But, okay.
So I've been in the Williamsville schools for close to 30 years now. So my current role is an instructional specialist. Like I said, I'm the coordinator. I actually coordinate four different departments: music, art, business and marketing, and family and consumer sciences. I started in Williamsville as a music teacher. Then I went into computer technology, and for the last 9 years, I've been a coordinator in Williamsville, and it's been a great time. It's funny you talk about, you know, people getting confused between Amherst and Sweet Home in Williamsville. Mm-hmm. One big town of Amherst, three different school districts.
Good, I'm glad I'm not the only one.
No.
That's got it all mixed up.
I live right here, and sometimes it's hard to remember which one is which.
So. And. All the jurisdictions kind of merge together when you come to like the supervisor or the, you know, politically there's mm-hmm. there's a lot of different councilmen and mm-hmm. supervisors and whatever. However, the school district is a very, very highly rated school district, and I'm sure you're proud of it and something to do with it over the years.
very much so. It's a great place to work. It's a great place to live. My own family, my children are at Williamsville South right now. I have a junior and a freshman at Williamsville South. Your granddaughter, I know, is at Williamsville North, so we're living
Shout
the Williamsville experience
Karen.
Together.
Hi, Karen. She's not listening. She's not up this early. And she doesn't want to hear me any more than she has to. So. But the thing is that you were involved with the music program
yes.
for many years,
yes.
and it is outstanding. I don't know if it's gotten awards, but it should, music program in Western New York.
It has, and interestingly, just this weekend, we did a celebration concert. The music coordinator for years and years in Williamsville was a man by the name of Mr. Frank Del Russo. He was a teacher in Williamsville in the 60s and went on to become a coordinator. And we unfortunately lost him back in the spring. But we did a celebration concert over the weekend, and the caliber of the students literally from as far away as Australia who graduated in the 60s came in for this event. Among his alumni are Carol Winsence, the incredible flute player, was in his band back in 1966 before she moved on to bigger and greater things. She came in to play. Martha Welty, if I have her name correctly, was the first woman to play French horn in the Philadelphia Orchestra under Ormandy. She came in to play right alongside the current students, and it was a terrific concert. And I bring that up because one of the things that we celebrated is Williamsville has a very rich tradition for excellence, and Frank was a very big part of that in the music program, and we've continued it to this day. So it was a great celebration. We're very proud of what we do. It takes a lot of work, and it takes a lot of work every day, but we're very proud of everything we're able to do to provide opportunities for students.
And I'm sure you've been through many times when the budget cuts and questions come up, and they always seem to want to cut like music or art or some cultural aspects of the student curriculum. And I know that and it's been ongoing that happens in the other school districts as well. I know you know that, but it's really amazing and great that you've been able. You and the district have been able to continue these programs.
I agree with you completely, and it comes. Everyone in the district is invested in the best education we can for students, whether it be the arts, athletics, or academics. And it comes with great long range planning. And I would be remiss if I didn't have a big shout out to our financial assistant superintendent, who sees the big picture. Literally for years and years to come. When we have conversations about what we could do today, he comes from the standpoint of, well, if we do that today, here's the implications 5-10 more years down the line. And it's that type of planning that allows the district to be able to do what it does.
And they might not grow a Carol Winsence or somebody like that, or groom one for the future if they
right.
don't have the program.
Exactly.
So I didn't mean to be ignoring you, Drew, but I'm, as I said, I'm obsessed with Michael because he's had such a long, important career here in the educational system. However, welcome to Buffalo, because I'm not sure if you're from Buffalo.
Thanks very much. I grew up here. I went to Williamsville East, but I've lived in New York City for the past little over 10 years. So home is New York, but it's nice to come back to Buffalo and work on this project.
Okay, tell me about not just this project, but let me start with what is the starringbuffalo.org group?
Yeah, Starring Buffalo is a relatively new theater company. We produce collaborations among three groups of people: visiting guest artists from Broadway, professional artists from Western New York and outstanding Western New York students. So all of our events include members of each of those groups. And our main activity is that we produce these concert versions of musicals. And that's what Little Shop is that we're talking about today. And we had a big concert last year of Hunchback of Notre Dame. So that's what we do.
Well, how do you get... I need more than that. We need more information.
Great.
Okay, how did it start? Okay, Michael maybe knows. How did it get started?
Well, Drew can answer how it truly started. So the founders of Starring Buffalo are actually Drew and our business person Laura Brody,
yeah, and Stephen Tardick, who does our sort of marketing and branding.
And the idea was theirs. They're all from Western New York. They went to the Williamsville schools. I joke, but it's actually true. I first met all three of them when they were 10 or 11 years old.
That's right.
And they came up with this idea, and a couple of years ago, it was Laura who first came to me and said, we have this great, possibly crazy, but really fun idea, and we're looking for like a local connection to help out, especially on the school side of things. And when you have incredibly talented former students that you always had a great relationship, when they come up with a great idea, you say, hey, let's go for it. So Starring Buffalo was born with their idea, and then we came together, and it's a great team. It really is. We just work off of each other. They said, this is what we're thinking about. I have the school connection, so I can reach out to the schools. Like last year, we had Williamsville East and...
Performing Arts.
Buffalo Performing Arts. And City of Tonawanda.
And Star Point.
And Star Point were the schools that were involved last year. We want to build that bridge between Broadway and Buffalo right down to the next generation and students. So we try and involve schools from all over the community. So that's how it was born.
I'm so happy to hear that part, because at first I was thinking, this might be like limited interest, like even to my listeners, if we're just talking about the Williamsville district, but now to find out that all other school districts are involved too, I'm so excited that we got to talk about that.
And that's very important. That's a fundamental philosophical foundation of this. It access to the arts is obviously important to everybody. And this year for Little Shop, we have Lockport, we have Newfane, and we have Fredonia. So we're reaching out all over Western New York.
How do you actually, in real life, get these groups together? How do you approach them? How did you get them involved for these different schools? Because they're all geographically even kind of not related. And I can't think of other things they do, other activities that they would participate in together. Maybe sports against each other, but I don't even know that.
I'd say it starts, honestly, with just reaching out via email and phone call to say, hey, this is what we're doing. When we first started last year, when we were pitching a concept that was just in concept, we reached out to schools that we thought might be interested, and it was a conversation. And in some ways, it was a leap of faith on their part to say, hey, we've got this really cool thing going. We're going to bring in these Broadway people. We're going to have Buffalo professionals, and we want to involve your school choirs in this. And the Hunchback production was fabulous.
Yeah.
It really was. If
was
we do say so ourselves, that was
the
last
first?
Year.
Is that the first?
Yes, last October.
That's why many of us were not familiar with it, because it just really is new.
Yeah.
It's new in the community, and that was the first production. How did you, as far as the first one goes, how did it work? You got the students involved, and how about getting the professionals you're talking about? How did that happen?
The professionals are my side. Michael, thank goodness, takes care of all of the schools and coordinates that. I am a composer. That's my main gig. I'm a composer and playwright in New York City. So a lot of the Broadway folks are either people from my network or friends of friends. And I called these folks. We brought up four guest artists for Hunchback. We're bringing up three for Little Shop. And I said, can we do this contract? We have a sort of special deal with their union that allows them to come to Western New York somewhat affordably for us. And so they come and stay for a week. The local artists and the students prepare for longer than that, but we add the Broadway folks the last week to get ready for the show.
That has to be really exciting. You know what that reminds me of, Michael, when we talked before, and I was telling you how great the music program is, that they do that here in Buffalo, in Williamsville. But, okay, it's all Buffalo. When they had, remember I told you they had a guest artist from, I think, the Philharmonic?
Yes.
And that came, and you would know this, and mm-hmm. like work with the students and performed mm-hmm. like a piece with them, and also like kind of mentored them. I don't unfortunately remember his name, but it was so exciting for the students. They kept saying, oh, this fabulous, you know, guitar or whatever
guest
he
artist
played.
Or whatever it
guest
was,
artist, sure. Yeah, it makes a big difference.
It really does, and that speaks to the opportunities that are available. And when Starring Buffalo came to fruition, the opportunities that are brought were just that that much more. So when the Broadway professionals come in, one of the things that they will do is they will drive right out to our schools to give a master class in the school. The students are rehearsing now, but we get the Broadway artists out there to work with the schools, and I can't underscore enough the quality of these professionals that we bring in, because last year, I mean, they were all great. I'm thinking about Ben Fankhauser, yeah. And just what he brought to Hunchback was incredible. Danielle Williamson, I mean, all of them were just terrific, and the students got to see them. They do the dress rehearsal with them, they perform with them. They feel the pressure, just like what the Broadway artists do in a week. The students really get to feel like, okay, we have 2 hours or 3 hours. Let's get it done, and there's no turning back. So that's one of the really exciting things about it.
I just want to interrupt for a moment in case you just tuned in. You are listening to On Target with your host, Penny Wolfgang, and we are talking today about a new theatrical, or I don't know if you're calling it just theatrical, but concert, theatrical, what are we calling it?
Theater and education, let's say.
Okay, educational theater here in West New York called starringbuffalo.org. And in the studio with us is Michael Russo, who is, I don't know what his title is with them.
Education director.
Of Starring Buffalo. Okay, mm-hmm. Educational director. And also Drew Fornarola. And Drew is the director of Little Shop of Horrors. And we just found out that Drew is a not only the director of this show, but he is a playwright. He is a composer.
Yeah.
And you didn't get to tell us. Have you composed anything that we would recognize in the past?
Well, it depends on who your listeners are. But I worked for DreamWorks for 5 years. I did a VeggieTales movie for them, which is an animated franchise they have.
Well, we've all heard of DreamWorks, I'm sure. So that's really big.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And I worked on the Shrek franchise a little bit.
Oh, so. That would be exciting.
Yeah.
That would be very exciting. And you're based in New York, but we said before, you're really a hometown guy.
That's right.
We love
that. I
went
to Williamsville East.
We love that. Do you still have family here?
I do. My parents are here, and of course, many friends from school.
They must be really excited that when you come back and do this. Let's talk a little bit more about Little Shop of Horrors. What is it about, and what kind of a production is it? I heard you say it was like a concert-type production.
Yeah, so Little Shop of Horrors is a musical from the 80s, a big hit in the 80s. It's a jokey, sort of a campy horror musical. So it's like a spoof of 50s horror films. It was a big hit by Alan Menken and Howard Ashman, who went on to write all the great Disney movies of the 90s, Little Mermaid and Beauty and the Beast and Aladdin. So we do full musicals, but we do concert versions of the musicals. So we perform all the songs and dialogue, but the actors have their scripts in front of them in case they need to refer to them. And we do them with very minimal props and sets, so everyone can focus on the music and the words, and we can put it together relatively quickly. And in addition to performing the musical, we have the high school choruses singing the ensemble parts sort of behind the professionals, which is a pretty cool experience for them.
Tell me how you prepare for that.
For the kids? So the kids get the music, how far ahead? About 2 months?
About 2 months, yeah.
About 2 months, and they work in their chorus classes on the music. I visit them twice through their preparation, and one of the guest artists from Broadway visits them the week of the show. Mm-hmm. And then they come down, and we have this crazy process where we do all the lighting and sound in one afternoon, and then a different high school chorus performs in each performance. So if you're from Lockport, which performance is there?
Lockport is going to be on Saturday night.
They're Saturday night. Mm-hmm. Where Newfane, which is another one of our schools this time, they're Friday night. And Fredonia is Saturday afternoon.
Saturday afternoon. That's right.
And do they ever get, like, together? Do you get the different groups together to meet each other or rehearse together or have anything to do with each other?
Yes. One crazy rehearsal. We have all three choirs at once. And so that's the first time they'll be hearing the band and the first time they'll be hearing the Buffalo Professionals. So we have one big rehearsal, but then we split them out for the three performances.
We haven't really gone into this, but this is a lot of work for only one, two, three performances. We haven't told our audience yet, our listeners, but we're going to when the performances are and where. Mm-hmm. However, that's a lot of work for three performances, isn't it?
It is. It's worth it.
Yes.
it is worth it. Drew, I forget the name of one of the series in New York City that this is kind of modeled after. Was it City?
Yeah, City Center has a series called the Encore Series, which looks a little bit like this, although without the big student component.
Without the student component.
That's our crazy invention.
It is a lot of work, but the benefits are huge. And after we did the first one last year, we really saw how the students took to it, how the Buffalo Professionals took to it, how the Broadway people took to it too.
Yep.
And because it's so compact, that's what makes it work, because the Broadway people, they have limited schedules, and sometimes things change. If someone gets picked up for a show, we have to swap out who the Broadway people are. But I actually think there was a cool announcement about one of our stars who's coming up for us.
Did we not tell our listeners on Target who the stars are that are coming this year? We mentioned last year, but we haven't talked.
Not yet.
It's da-da-da-da. I'm sorry. I don't have a drum roll.
Oh,
but
no. I was waiting for it.
Wait for it.
So we have three guest artists from the Broadway community for Little Shop. Matt Doyle is our Seymour, and he has been in the Broadway cast of Book of Mormon and Spring Awakening, and he's the one that Michael was referring to. It was announced yesterday that in the spring he's going to star in the Broadway revival of Company opposite Patti LuPone, who's a big star.
Oh, how big. I can't believe he's going to be here, really.
Yeah, so Matt, we're very excited to have Matt. He's going to be our Seymour. Lindsay Nicole Chambers is our Audrey. She was in the Broadway casts of Hairspray and Legally Blonde and some others.
Kinky Boots.
She did the tour of Kinky Boots. Mm-hmm. She was most recently on Fosse Verdon on FX, if you guys saw that on TV.
I did. Who did she play? I did. She was fabulous.
I don't know.
Yes,
I'm a bad friend.
What a series. It was such a terrific series.
Yeah. No, I have to catch up on it. But she was one of the... one of the, I think, girlfriends or mistresses of...
Of which there were many, a Fosse.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. So she had a few episodes. And Brandon Espinoza is our dentist. He's been in six Broadway shows, actually. Most recently, SpongeBob SquarePants. He played the pirate. So he's a total goof, and he's kind of a genius. Our local star is a guy named Dudney Joseph Jr., who your listeners might know from a lot of theater around town. He won an Artie Award in Buffalo for La Cage aux Folles at, I believe, Musical Fair. I think that was their production.
So. Mm-hmm.
And then we have several other Western New Yorkers in the cast as well.
Well, it's really amazing that they would, stars of that caliber would come and give their time. And you must have a way to convince them. You must be a very convincing person.
I would agree with that.
Drew, really.
I try to convince them. It's in their interest. They're mostly doing me favors. But but it works in their schedule. A lot of these folks, if they have short gap between projects, like we're catching Matt right before Company, the whole thing is about a week long for them. So it's a pretty fun job. And they also, a lot of people come, or the people who have come so far, because they want to play the roles. So for Matt, for instance, he's always wanted to do Seymour. He's never gotten a chance to do it.
It's sort of a classic part.
Yeah, right. It's a cool chance for him to come in. Brandon's a good friend. He's just doing that as a favor. But we're happy to have him, too, and Lindsay's wonderful. So
I'm also interested in the fact that you're performing, which we haven't told our listeners yet, at Shays. We talk about that a little bit. How did you work that out?
We're at the Shays 710 Theater, so this is the theater just down the road from the main stage. It's the perfect size and the perfect space for us. We're really excited to be there. The folks from Shays came and saw Hunchback, which was at Buff State, which is another great facility, and I hope we'll be back there at some point. Right. But they saw the show and said maybe we can work something out, so they've been really instrumental in helping to get this show down to one of their theaters.
Yeah, and we're excited because actually both of our productions this year, Little Shop Now and Evita in the Spring.
Oh, we didn't get to mention that.
Yeah.
Quick, throw that in because we only have a minute or so. There's going to be another one, and it's in the spring.
It's in the spring. It's also going to be at Shays 710. So at the website, starringbuffalo.org, that's where you can find all the information about what we're doing.
And it's going to be Evita. Now, I'm assuming because there are so many students and people involved in the production locally, that you have no problem selling tickets because all the parents and all the grandparents and everybody involved are going to come, right?
Well, the parents are
however,
a great start.
Yeah, yes.
But it's a big theater.
All right. So how do people get tickets? Do they do it through Shays 10 or Shays itself or
they,
what?
They can get it through Shays or our website, starringbuffalo.org, has a link to the Shays ticket site.
And guess what? I know we didn't tell them the days and the times.
Let's do that now. So the shows are November 1st and 2nd. November 1st is a Friday, so we have a 7:30 show. And November 2nd, there's 2:30 and 7:30 on Saturday.
And that's probably a good idea, I'm sure you realize, for a matinee in case there's younger people involved. What are the ages of the high school, right? That
correct.
That are in your choruses?
Correct.
But they probably have, like, brothers and sisters that want to come and everything.
Yeah, it's a good show for kids.
Yes, it is. It's a good, it's entertaining and fun. And even though it says Little Shop of Horrors, it's not a horror. Because I've seen it many, I assure everybody, I've seen it many times. So, okay, thank you so much for letting our listeners know about this wonderful group and about the schools involved and what a great community activity it is. I hope we'll see you all at Little Shop of Horrors, November 1st or November 2nd. Well, maybe not all. I don't think they'd all fit, but what we hope for the best. We want standing room only, right, Michael?
Absolutely.
Thanks for listening to On Target. Please join me again next week. Same time, same station. Have a good week, and goodbye, everybody.
You've been listening to On Target with Penny Wolfgang, a program that takes an inside look at Western New York and our community. If you have any comments or suggestions, please write to Penny Wolfgang at 500 Corporate Parkway, Suite 200, Amherst, New York, 14226.